Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
There are worrying signs of a failure to appreciate not only the rights of believers to freedom of conscience and freedom of religion, but also the legitimate role of religion in the public square.
That discharges the soldier with the real problem, the homophobic soldier that has the real negative effect on unit cohesion.
I want to urge the U.S. Senate to oppose this policy for what it is. It's a radical social experiment.
The God of American civil religion is not the triune God of Jesus Christ. He is Zeus at best, or Baal at worst.
Indiana Truck Drivers Love Issues, etc.
When you first read this, very common, very familiar words in the Lord's Prayer, it almost sounds, well, it actually does sound, like Jesus is saying that God forgives us after and on the basis of our forgiveness of others. I mean, read it. It says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." It really sounds like when we forgive, then God will forgive us, and that's what we're asking for in the Lord's Prayer. And yet, all of Scripture speaks against that. We have to have another way of reading this. Well, it's kind of a difficult petition in the Lord's Prayer. That's part of what we'll be doing during our pastor's roundtable this Thursday afternoon, September the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours as we talk about first the Lord's Prayer with our pastor's roundtable, then feminism and the mommy penalty in the workplace with Colleen Carroll Campbell. Sarah Pulliam Bailey will join us from GetReligion.org to talk about a recent conference of Religious News Writers Association in Denver. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will also be with us in the second hour. We'll talk about the spiritual but not religious, the non-religious spirituals, let's call them that. And then Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute will be our guest in the last 15 minutes. We'll get his reaction to recent comments made by President Barack Obama on abortion at a town hall event in New Mexico. You can join us 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you can leave a question or a comment on this petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses," or you could send us a tweet, @issuesetc. Joining us for our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, Pastor Ernie Lassman is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Seattle, Washington. Pastor Lassman, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
And here in the studio, Pastor Doug Gaunt, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm, Missouri. Doug, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Ernie, first for you, it sounds like Jesus is telling us to pray for God's forgiveness on the basis of our forgiveness of those who trespass against us. Is that what Jesus is telling us to do?
Well, I think all of us would agree, and the history of Christianity would agree, that that's not what he's saying. I think it's really important to look at the text, even the English translation. In a way, we really don't have maybe as big a dilemma as we think we have. For example, it does not say in the text, the Greek or the English, "Forgive us our debts because we forgive others." That would be more of a problem, but that's not what it says. So I think we even have to look at the text again and see that maybe it's not saying something quite as problematic as we think it is.
Yeah, in fact, the whole thing, I think, hinges on that word "as." And if I could do a good Bill Clinton, I would say it depends on what the definition of "as" is. How's that? But that is that's the key, is how do you see that word as "as"? Does that mean because, or does that mean in the same way as, or similar to? And that's what I think I think we all would agree that that's what it's saying.
So to make it as plain as possible, Pastor Gaunt, what is Jesus saying here that sounds so often to our ears as though he's putting a condition on God's forgiveness?
In a nutshell, I would say that on the one hand, this is pure gospel for us, and that Jesus is offering us that forgiveness. So when we ask, please forgive us our trespasses, we can trust that that forgiveness is going to be ours. And then once we receive that, there is a seal that God gives too. The Lord's Prayer is not just a matter of asking God to give us things. It's really asking God to make a change in us. And so we're asking God to make us forgivers as well. And there's a lot that we can say about that, especially when you look at it in terms of other parts of Scripture, the parable of the unforgiving servant and things like that.
Okay, Pastor Lastman, where do we go in Scripture, where do we begin in Scripture to explain what it means that we have forgiveness of sins with God?
Well, you mean the basis of our forgiveness?
Yes. I mean, where would you start if someone says, sure, tell me about forgiveness of sins the Bible?
Oh, sure. Well, okay, we would begin with the basic idea of debt or obligation, which we can get right from the Lord's Prayer, that sin is creates a debt or obligation that we have towards God, that we have failed to do what we should do, or his commandments, and therefore he has every right to punish us, as you would someone who owes you a large debt of money or something. It'd be some sort of consequence. And so what he does then, the idea of forgiveness, and there'd be different images that could be used, but the idea here is that debt is now canceled. So that would be the idea of forgiveness. We could use other images, but using the idea of debt, that sin, that debt is now canceled. And it's canceled because Jesus Christ has paid the debt. So that can now be forgiven. It's like if you had some huge bill, Todd, that you simply could not pay, and I or somebody else came in and paid it for you, your debt now has been canceled and paid, and you are free of that debt. And that's what the cross basically did.
You know, Todd, when you ask where would you go to in Scripture for this, I would think, where would you not go? Because if all of Scripture is talking about Jesus, from Old Testament pointing to the Savior who's coming, the New Testament to the Savior who has come, and Jesus came to bring us that forgiveness from our Father, then every part of Scripture is going to say something to us about this petition in the Lord's Prayer.
Pastor Gaunt, Luther wants to put a point on it right away when he writes about this in his Large Catechism, that it is not as though God waits for us to ask before he forgives. And maybe that helps us with the first question about how God's forgiveness is already ours and working in our life even before we seek forgiveness for any particular sin. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, what ends up happening sometimes, I think, is we, on the one hand, will despair over the fact that we're not feeling that forgiveness. In fact, we feel guilty. And so we need that reassurance over and over again. And every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, which we do, you know, hundreds of times, thousands of times, that gives us another opportunity to be assured of the gift that God has given us in Christ.
It seems as though that's kind of a theme that runs through Luther's explanations, Pastor Lastman, that God is already answering these prayers even before we ask. Why is that so important to remember, regardless of what we're praying for, especially in the Lord's Prayer?
Well, I think it keeps our focus on the right object. It's a human tendency in all of our lives, even in religious matters, to put the focus on ourselves. And God always wants the focus to be on him. And that does two simple things in this, in all matters. First of all, it gives us great comfort in that he's ultimately the one who's doing things and in his charge, which is a great comfort and a wonderful relief. And then secondly, and closely related, he's the one then that's going to get all the credit and praise and glory for whatever the outcome may be.
Luther says famously here, Pastor Gaunt, if God ever stops forgiving, then we are lost. And I think a lot of Christians operate with the idea that at some point we should be able to give God a break and stop asking for forgiveness. If you're really doing the Christian life right, you should get to a point where eventually God doesn't always have to be forgiving you.
Yeah, and the problem is if we ever were to get to that point, then that would leave us at a point where we needed to earn the forgiveness ourselves. And any time we get to the point where we think that we can or that we think that we should, we're lost. And so, and praise God that God does not get weary of forgiving us, but will forgive us again and again and again whenever we come to him and repent. But also in the meantime, too, if I'm on my way home tonight and I get in a car accident and the last thing I say is some curse word, I'm not concerned that I'm not going to be received into heaven because I didn't get a chance to repent. God's grace is good. I am in God's forgiveness, God's gracious forgiveness now, and will continue to be until that day when he receives me home.
You know, Pastor God, there are a lot of Christians who worry about that very thing. Maybe not the car accident scenario, but that they really got to be right every second, square with God from their perspective. That is, not sinning or have the right frame of mind or frame of heart. Because at any moment, we could die. Yeah. And they fear they might be lost if they're not just so.
And part of the problem is I think people have this idea that when you sin, you're jumping out of the circle. And then when you ask for forgiveness, you're jumping back in the circle. And if that were the case, and then you get caught out of the circle, then you're, you know, you're lost. But
musical chairs.
Is, yeah, yeah. And what an awful state that would be for us. And also, that's not the kind of God that we worship.
Well, when we come back, we're going to continue our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, September the 30th, on the Lord's Prayer, the petition, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Pastor Gaunt brought up something a few minutes ago, a parable about an unforgiving servant and the debt that was owed. We're going to come back to that one because there is an implied law here that we need to recognize, and that is Jesus says, if you do not forgive your brother from your heart, then God will not forgive you. And even though God doesn't forgive us on the basis of our forgiveness, we got to work that one out too. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Amazing grace, how sweet a sound that saved a wretch like me.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's the Lord's Prayer, topic of conversation on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our pastor's roundtable continues to grow. Joining us here in the studio, as well as Pastor Doug Gaughan, and on the phone, Pastor Ernie Lassman, Pastor Jeff Nairn, who's pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Greenville, Illinois. Good to see you here.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate you inviting me.
You actually chose to be part of the roundtable on this very petition because you, as part of the ministry that you do in Greenville, deal with this petition. Well, all pastors do, but you deal with it in a unique way all the time. Tell us about that.
Well, one of the reasons I got excited about this petition, particularly as being in the round table, is because I do prison ministry. And specifically, I work with the ladies in the camp along with the men. But the ladies in the camp is kind of unique because a lot of people who are in the camp, the female population, are carrying a lot of issues that they're carrying with the understanding of what's happened to them in their growing up. Many of them have been abused either by verbal or physical abuse. Statistics show us that has been a normal pattern for a lot of women who are incarcerated.
And so I imagine you do a fair amount of instruction on what it means to be forgiven and to forgive.
Yes, I do that both on an individual level and a group level. It's the individual level that really draws me to this understanding of this petition, because a lot of the ladies feel that because of what's happened to them and the anger and the hurt that they carry with them, that they can't be saved because they feel they can't forgive. It's too hard for them to forgive.
Pastor Lassman, let's go to a parable that Pastor Gaughan mentioned a few minutes ago. He alluded to this parable. I think it's in the neighborhood of Matthew 18, where Jesus talks about a great debt that is forgiven and then a measly debt that remains unforgiven. And he ends with this terrible proclamation. So if you do not forgive your brother from your heart, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Let's sort this out in light of forgive us our trespasses.
Well, it's one of my favorite parables, too, because it's so so realistic and so visual and so helpful to understand. I think the point of the parable is very simple. You have a servant who owed his master, let's say, just an arbitrary number here, $1 million, and he pleads for mercy, and he's forgiven that debt. And that's a wonderful thing. And then he goes out and finds another fellow servant who owes him $100, and the guy also pleads for mercy and forgiveness, and he becomes very stern and rigid and threatens to put him in jail unless he pays everything back. Well, that's not very a very good attitude. Everybody would concede that. And then all the other fellow servants saw the injustice that transpired and then went back and told the king. And the king pulled that fellow back and was just dismayed how he could be forgiven such a huge debt and then go out and be so pity and harsh with his fellow servant and not forgive him. And clearly in the parable, the king is God, and you and I are the ones that owe the king so much it's impossible for us to pay it back. And the point of the parable is very clear, that our debt against God is far more serious and weighty than what anybody else can do to us. And I think that's kind of the, figuratively speaking, the jugular vein, so to speak, because we find that hard to believe at times when somebody really does something bad to us, that this person's really sinned more against me than I have against God. And I think that's really the crux of the issue.
You know, along with that, when you look at the context of this parable, Jesus had just been talking to the disciples about giving forgiveness in Matthew 18. You know, when you go to him and then speak forgiveness if you've won your brother over, you know, if they've repented, and then if that doesn't happen, then take two or three witnesses and so on. And so it speaks to the fact that giving forgiveness is so, so very difficult for us. We're not willing to do it for, as you say, the pocket change when we owe this huge debt. And when we don't, what happens is we are not representing, we are not hallowing God's name. We are misusing God's name. When we're not willing to give that forgiveness as God's ambassadors, then we have profaned God's name. So when you look at this, it ties the whole Lord's Prayer together for us. We're looking at a situation where we have the opportunity to be God's ambassadors by forgiving. It wasn't – this guy was not condemned because his debt was so great. He was condemned because he refused to forgive. He was no longer the ambassador that God wanted him – or the master wanted him to be. He could have been walking around and people would have looked at this great debt and people would have glorified the master because of his great mercy. Instead, he was a poor image of what had happened, and therefore – he was condemned for it.
Does it kind of work like this, Jeff, where when we refuse to forgive, and we're not, I want to talk a little bit in a minute about the difficulty of forgiving, because we strive to, we never do, I never have ever forgiven perfectly. I must admit that. I mean, there's still a whole closet full of grudges in the Wilkin house. But our refusal to forgive demonstrates that we also are refusing God's forgiveness?
Yeah, that's exactly what I try to explain to the ladies, is it's not so much that you've got forgiveness correct. It's that you don't want them who have harmed you to be denied the same forgiveness Christ has given you. And there's a difference between getting it perfect. Only Christ could forgive perfectly. But to be willing for those people who have harmed you to have the same forgiveness that you've been given in Christ, that blood that was shed for you in your sin is the same blood that was shed for them in their sin, and you want them to know that as best that you can bring to them.
Okay, Pastor Lessman, let's talk about the difficulty of this. As I said, I can honestly say I've never forgiven something done wrong to me perfectly. I strive to. There are sometimes failing memory takes care of some of that, where you just kind of forget that someone's done something wrong to you and you hold no longer any hard feelings. But boy, there are a lot of hard feelings. And I worry, especially given that parable, that I'm cutting myself off from the kind of forgiveness that God can give to me. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I agree with everything you just said, and I think it's very important, and what I'm saying is not unique to me. Many pastors and have done this throughout the many centuries. We have to make the distinction between, I know God wants me to forgive. I want to forgive. It's really hard, but I'm asking for God's power and spirit that I can forgive like I've been forgiven. That's one thing versus, I don't care what he thinks, I'm not forgiving him. Book shut. I don't care what they think. I don't care what God says. I don't care what the church says or pastor. I'm not forgiving this person. Those are two profoundly different things. And I would believe the second example I gave, that person is not forgiven and does not understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first example I gave, yes, that person could be a Christian and is under God's grace, and God's grace and forgiveness will empower him or that person eventually to forgive like he wants to forgive.
You think about that family in Connecticut that we've heard so much about lately, and the husband that survived and those heinous murders that happened in their house. And you, if you put yourself in his position, think, how could I ever forgive those criminals, those murderers? And yet I realize, too, that God requires me to forgive that way. That's God's requirement. So what do I do with that? At that point, I need to ask God, please forgive me for my unforgiveness. It's kind of like the man who brought his son to be healed. I believe, forgive my unbelief. I am not wanting to forgive. Forgive me for not being forgiving. And then, and once you receive that, it does tend to soften our hearts.
It's a never-ending story, Pastor Lessman.
Well, it is. Maybe one other thing on there is, I just thought of another thought. The idea, if I did lose it here as I started here, the idea of forgiveness is, we have to kind of pause and remember. Now, wait a minute. Jesus Christ died on the cross for everybody, right? Right. Well, doesn't that mean he died on the cross for this horrific sin that was committed against me? Right. Doesn't that mean that God has paid for this sin already? Yes. Well, if God's already sent his son to die for this horrific sin committed against me, that means this sin has already been paid for. Whether it's been accepted or not is another question. But then I can let this go. God has already dealt with this sin, and God will deal with this person. He's already dealt with it on the cross, and then there's the judgment day. Therefore, I'm free. This is God's doing, and now I'm free to forgive.
Well, that's another thing I wanted to talk about. And when we come back, we'll get to that. And I had never really considered this until recently, talking with another guest on the program, how when we refuse to forgive, we bind ourselves, refuse to forgive even the unrepentant. We bind ourselves and entrap ourselves as much as we desire to bind and entrap the person we're refusing to forgive. We really are, in fact, keeping ourselves bound to that sin when Christ has freed us from my sin and your sin and the sins you commit against me and the sins that I commit against you. We're talking about the petition, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." It's Thursday afternoon, our pastor's roundtable. Pastor Ernie Lastman, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Seattle, Washington. Pastor Doug Gaunt, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm, Missouri. And Pastor Jeff Nert, who's pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Greenville, Illinois. You can also join the roundtable. Give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. We are giving away a copy of a pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions to the best question or comment, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
And tell me what's wrong with me. Will somebody have mercy?
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
You canceled the wrong show. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Helping children wait no more.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Little more than 1 year after Focus on the Family's Wait No More adoption initiative began, the Colorado Department of Human Services reported that only 365 children eligible for adoption remain in foster care. This means that over half of Colorado's waiting children have been adopted. Too often, pro-lifers are accused of not addressing the issue of children in need after they are born. But adoption initiatives such as this are a great opportunity to affirm human life in all its stages. All children deserve love and a family. The opportunities are many, and the need is great.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Well, about this time tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to announce the winners of two $50 gift certificates to Concordia Publishing House. Those two are going to go to, one, the person who invited the most friends to become a fan of Issues Etc. on Facebook, facebook.com/issuesetc, and two, the person who had the best invitation to their friends to become a fan of Issues Etc. Still time for you to send your invitation and the number of friends that you invited to us so that we can enter you for consideration for those two $50 gift certificates. Send it to contest@issuesetc.org, contest@issuesetc.org, and we'll announce the winners tomorrow on the program. We're discussing the petition, "Forgive Us Our Trespasses," from the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Ernie Lastman, Pastor Doug Gaunt, and Pastor Jeff Nert are our pastor's roundtable. Pastor Nert, during the break we were discussing a theologian of just tremendous scope and persuasion, Dr. Ken Corby. And he often talked about confession and absolution and about the loosing, the unbinding of our sins from ourselves and from those who have sinned against us. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, Dr. Corby always was talking about the gift of confession and absolution in a private way, that the pastor would be able to share Christ's forgiveness as Christ himself, particularly to the particular sin that you were confessing. And a lot of the times that has to do with because of the anger and hurt that you're carrying, you feel that you can't come to the Lord's Supper because you're not worthy. You haven't forgiven that person. And his counsel was, no, that's why you are going to the private confession to confess that particular sin. This is my sin. I can't forgive my neighbor because of what he has done for me. And then in that confession, you're binding that no longer to you, but you're binding it to Jesus. He takes it freely from you, and he buries it in his flesh that he hung on the cross for, so that your sins are forgiven. It's a loosening of the sin that's bound you. And then you quickly go and receive the sacrament of his body and blood that gives you that wonderful word of forgiveness of sins.
This one comes from a Michael in Louisiana. He says, in praying this petition, shouldn't we always remind ourselves that we need to beg forgiveness for our complete inability to forgive as we have been forgiven? When watching Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ, I'm always broken to pieces when, while being nailed to the cross, our Lord screams out for the forgiveness of those who are nailing him to it. I can say most assuredly that I am not capable of that kind of forgiveness and am therefore worthy of eternal condemnation. Pastor Gaunt, your thoughts there on Michael's comment?
Well, I think it's absolutely true, and it's so necessary, and especially in light of what Pastor Nairt had just talked about. There are those times where we are so desperately needing that forgiveness and not feeling like it's there just because of the way we're feeling, and what Satan in our own sinful flesh will always do is try to stir up that sense of guilt. And if Satan can stir up that sense of guilt, somehow getting us to think that we are not forgiven, then he's accomplished his purpose. Somehow that's undermining the work that Jesus has done. And so for that reason, many times I've listened to private confession from people who are seeking that forgiveness, and by having that private confession and absolution, they are able to anchor the forgiveness to a time and a place. And oftentimes I will offer them private communion at that time. So that not only anchors it in their ears, but in their touch and their taste. And they can say, when that guilt is stirred up again, no, I was forgiven on September 30th in Pastor Gaunt's office. Satan, get behind me.
Go ahead.
Could I add something here?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to come back to the concept of self-righteousness. I've thought a lot about this scripturally and in my own personal life, this whole issue of forgiveness and forgiving. And, you know, a lot of it really is, it comes down to self-righteousness. Two simple points. If I see myself as a small sinner, then that's all that Jesus did for me on the cross. And, of course, we all have tinges of self-righteousness. So, yes, I know I need forgiveness, unless I stumble across one of these days, you know, something that really bothers me a lot. But overall, I'm a nice person. I'm a nice guy. Yes, I love Jesus and all that, but it's the small debt concept. And so then when something happens to me, whether we're thinking it consciously or not, my self-righteous flesh says, I don't deserve this. Well, why don't I deserve this? Because I'm basically a good person. How could God let this happen to me? So I don't think we've adequately, and I'm not saying we should spend a lot of time on it, but right underneath the surface in all this discussion is this tinge of self-righteousness that we really do not understand the depth of our sins against God, and that's why we have all these other issues about forgiveness and forgiving.
I'd like to add to that, too, that I think that because Satan will use that self-righteous tool, he'll either drive us to the terror of conscience that I can't get to heaven because I can't forgive perfectly. And if that's the only way we think that we're going to get to heaven is that we forgive perfectly rather than fixing our eyes on Christ who does forgive perfectly. Or the other way, man, I can forgive. Look what I'm able to do. and nothing can affect me because I have the Spirit so much in me that I have perfect forgiveness where I still don't need Jesus Christ.
You know, just to add to that too, when you look at the context of when Jesus is teaching the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, and you look at all of the different things that he's saying around that, every one of them was directed at the religion of the Pharisees, which was very self-righteous in terms of long, flowing prayers that went on and on and on. And then Jesus gives this simple petition. And when he says, forgive debts as we our debts are forgiven, that really cut to the heart of Phariseeism at that time, a real self-righteousness. At the same time, he was speaking to the hearts of those people who needed to hear that comfort, the masses that were there with them.
This one comes from Doug in Slayton, Minnesota. He says, Martin Chemnitz, that would be a reformer not only one generation removed from Martin Luther in the 16th century. Martin Chemnitz writes in his book on the Lord's Prayer, quote, the petition for bread is connected immediately to the petition for remission of sins. They are knit together by the conjunction and. This is to teach us to desire and care for those things that concern the eternal salvation of our soul with the same fervency of spirit that we earnestly desire and are naturally motivated to seek worldly good. How can we live this, live out this connection in our lives? Pastor Lassman.
Well, I might be a little thick this afternoon. I'm not quite sure what the point is in the context. Is in that context, is Chemnitz referring to physical daily bread or the Lord's Supper or in the greater context there?
I think that Chemnitz is saying that when Christ fashions this prayer, he desires that we desire forgiveness of sins as fervently as we desire food on a plate.
I see. Yes, and well, that's part of our problem. Again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but if we see ourselves as a good person, that's going to be very a huge challenge. But I would agree with that, is the constant awareness of sin. And, you know, we have phrases in our confessions about poor, miserable sinner, and every once in a while in a sermon or a teaching, I bring that up. Do you really believe that? Because if you do, then you'll do what Chemnitz says. You'll be frequently and daily asking for and rejoicing in God's complete and unconditional forgiveness. But if we don't believe that, well, it's going to be a different story.
You know, and Pastor Lassman, I think you really touched on something when you made that, in your question, the connection with the Lord's Supper. Because in the same way that we require that physical bread, we need that spiritual bread of Christ's body and Christ's blood in the supper. And so, consequently, we live that every Sunday when we pray this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, right before we are receiving Christ's body and blood in the sacrament.
The liturgy does it again.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. Chuck says, are we praying forgiveness to us the same level we forgive or don't forgive others? Or are we praying forgive at the same time we are forgiving others or something else? Who wants to tackle that one? I mean, is he saying as temporally as we forgive or in the same way? Which is it?
You know, it's interesting. You look at if you look at Luke's Gospel and then Matthew's Gospel on this prayer, Matthew uses debt and debt. He was a tax collector, so he'd be kind of economically minded. But Luke makes a distinction between forgive us our sins, then forgive us our debts, as if to say that the sins that we commit against God are far greater than the sins that we commit or are committed against us. So I do think it's a little bit of a something else at that point. Our sins against God are far heavier on the balance than the sins that have been committed against us.
So it's not forgive me when I forgive others or forgive me the same way that I forgive others. There's no comparison to how God forgives and the way that I am capable of forgiving.
The scale where Jesus said, Father, forgive them, is much different than when we say, I forgive you in the sense of how much debt you owe me.
Pastor Lassman, a quick question. I think you can handle it in about 30 seconds before our break. Michael in Mount Pleasant, Iowa says, is this petition law or gospel?
Well, you know, I'm going to cop out and say I'm not sure those are the proper categories. And what I mean by that is my understanding of law and gospel would always be God's relationship to us. God is either speaking law or God is speaking gospel. So we might muddy the waters by trying to force this into law and gospel categories. So I'm not sure if that would be the appropriate question, but I'm open to correction on that.
If you think about it, it's kind of like asking the question, Jesus on the cross, is that law or gospel? And certainly you could see, you know, the full law in there.
Law for him.
Yeah, but gospel, pure gospel for us. And so when I look at this petition, I see gospel.
All right, when we come back, 10 more minutes with our pastor's roundtable talking about forgive us our trespasses. I'm Todd Wilkin. Forgiveness, forgiveness, even if.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
You got me begging you for mercy. Why won't you release me? You got me begging you for mercy. Why won't you?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our Pastor's Roundtable. Pastor Ernie Lassman, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Seattle, Washington, on the phone. And here in the studio, Pastor Jeff Naird, who's pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Greenville, Illinois, and Pastor Doug Gaunt, who's pastor of Trinity Lutheran in Orchard Farm, Missouri. Derek asks this question. My question is in regard to the pop psychology concept of self-forgiveness. Counseling literature describes it as letting go of any anger toward yourself over mistakes you've made. But I've never heard it mentioned explicitly in Scripture that you should forgive yourself. So, naturally, I'm wondering, when a person makes a mistake that he or she knows is wrong, should that person forgive himself or herself? Thanks and love the show. Pastor Lassman, this is a really, really common concept. In fact, I think I was watching a show just last night, The Biggest Loser, and one of the concepts that came up when they were counseling these terribly overweight people is learning to forgive yourself. How would you answer that pastorally?
You certainly don't need God to do that, do you? That would be a very easy starting point. What does God have to do with that? No, it may have something. It all depends upon the person and the context, but not necessarily. So self-forgiveness, that's a very difficult concept. What does that mean? Does that mean the self-forgiveness now is going to justify your behavior? It's okay to do this? Self-forgiveness means that you're going to change your behavior and work a different way. Self-forgiveness just means you want to feel good about yourself. I don't know of anything in the Bible that talks about self-forgiveness either. I think we would express it differently. In a Christian context, it's not forgiving yourself, but rather it's believing that God forgives you. And that's what really makes the difference. Now, somebody might then want to springboard off of that and say, well, what does that mean to believe that God forgives you, or do I have to feel it? You know, we can get down that discussion of what, do I feel forgiveness, or do I believe I'm forgiven? But self-forgiveness is, in a eternal sense, kind of meaningless because it has nothing to do with eternal life or death or a relationship with God. So I think we have to get back to God is the one who makes forgiveness possible with his Son, and he is the one who actually gives that forgiveness through the, as someone else mentioned so well, the means of grace, the Word and the sacrament. So it's very concrete.
Let's talk about that objectivity for a minute, because during the break we were talking about how God answers this prayer in concrete, objective ways. Not, oh, I hope he forgives me, maybe I'll feel better this afternoon and know that he forgives me. Pastor Nert, what is the concrete answer for the Christian to this prayer, forgive us our trespasses?
Well, where Christ says he is giving us our forgiveness in his body, in his blood, in the Lord's Supper. There you have it in you, because his word says it is within you.
In that vein, Cindy asks, how does this relate to, therefore, quoting the scripture, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift, quoting Matthew chapter 5. I've heard professing Christians pontificate about forgiving others, but I have never seen one of them worry about it, about the brother who has something against you.
Actually, part of the sharing the peace was originally part of that. If your brother or your neighbor stole a cow before you went to the Lord's Supper, you went over and you said, hey, Hank, I'm sorry you stole my cow. And Hank would say, I'm sorry I stole your cow too. Well, I'll bring the cow back.
So there was this was a practice of the Christians.
Absolutely. They practiced it because it was God's gift of being able to say, I'm reconciled with my brother, so we can receive the sacrament.
And it was my understanding that in the early church, they would stop the service.
Yeah.
Say, okay, we've got two brothers that got an issue here. We got to get this worked out before we go any further.
So no one would commune until it was reconciled.
Yeah. And they all, you know, kind of pitched in, I believe.
They've actually done that in counseling, like meetings where there's situations where it's broken into divisions and they work through it. And then they say, let's go up and we will reconcile this right here with the body and blood of Christ.
Jeremy in Delaware, Pastor Lastman, he says, I've seen bumper stickers that say, screw guilt. I wonder what that idea does for the concept of repentance and forgiveness. If I get rid of the sense of and ignore my guilt, then what need do I have for forgiveness? Here are my questions for the pastors at the round table. What is the proper regard for guilt? What help is there for those who struggle to believe that God has forgiven and removed their guilt? Those questions for you, Pastor Lastman.
Well, I would suggest you don't live next door to someone who doesn't have guilt. That could end up poorly. and to one degree or another, you know, I've done this before. Just Google guilt. Maybe people like guilt's not popular, but that's the way it is. It's everywhere because guilt is guilt, and of course we know there's some personalities that are impervious to guilt. But the average typical human being is afflicted with guilt to one degree or another. So then it becomes an issue of this human reality, and what do we do with it? And Christianity, I get sometimes weary about hearing Christianity is not very practical. This is very practical then. What do I do with this existential guilt that I have? And of course, we know the answer to that. And again, as someone already said, it's very objective. It's not subjective. It's not a wish. It's not a hope. It's not a nice idea. God has taken care of this in history and time, and now it's given to you through objective means. So we have such a wonderful blessing here and such a wonderful message to bring to a hurting world. And see, somebody says screw guilt, I'm just speculating here, because they don't know what to do with it. They don't know the gospel. So what do you do with guilt when you don't know the gospel? It's kind of sad.
Michael in Rockford, Illinois. as time winds down, he says, how do we respond to those who do believe that this is a quid pro quo type of thing, that God will forgive us only when we have forgiven? This line of thinking totally misses Christ and the cross, but as we know, that is not so important in many churches anyway. Pastor Gaunt, how do we deal with someone who says God will only forgive you when you forgive?
Yeah, that's a tough one. On the one hand, you can spend some time, you know, looking at the scripture, looking at the grammar, and those kinds of things. And you can point out all of the places in scripture where that make it very clear that we are guilty and that we should hate guilt. But then from there, say, okay, but what does God do with that guilt? For some folks, though, who are in that or are kind of steadfast in that, it becomes a matter of waiting, because the guilt will get them. It will get to them. The effects of that guilt will break them down at some point in some way, and then you just want to be there when that happens to be able to share the truth of God's love for them in Christ.
Pastor Nair, you get the final word, since you were a little late coming into the round table. When we ask for this forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer, how can we know beyond a shadow of a doubt and have the comfort of God's sure answer to this prayer?
By fixing our eyes on Jesus, because he's the author and perfecter of our faith, and because he was at the cross suffering for our sin, and that's what Christians have the understanding of. There is a place, there is a time, and there is a done, it's over, it is finished.
Pastor Jeff Nerd is pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Greenville, Illinois. Thank you very much for coming over.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Also, thanks to Pastor Doug Gaunt of Trinity Lutheran in Orchard Farm, Missouri. Thanks for making the trip over here.
Thank you. It's always a blessing.
And although he did not leave the comfort of his office or his study, Pastor Ernie Lassman, nonetheless, thank you very much for being our guest as well.
You're very welcome. It's always a joy.
Pastor Lassman is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Seattle, Washington. Let's see, the winner this Thursday of the pocket edition of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, I think, will be Derek. Derek, if you would send us your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, we will send you out a copy of a pocket edition of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. And thank you very, very much to everybody who had questions and comments during our pastor's roundtable. Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions is the basis for every Thursday's roundtable. It is a copy, a reader's edition of the Lutheran Confessions, 16th century documents compiled by the Lutheran Reformers to confess and to express what it is they believe, teach, and confess, and what it is they reject and condemn. This is a must-read for anyone who considers themselves a son or a daughter of the Reformation. Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, under the Listen On Demand page, or call Concordia Publishing House. Order one for yourself, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Did you know that forgiveness is the greatest of God's gifts? I mean, God is a pretty great gift giver. He has given some amazing things: life and health and reason and senses, and everything you have in your life, it all comes from him. Your wife, your family, your children, your husband, your parents, your job, every breath you take, every day that you wake up and live another day before God and men. God gives all of this stuff. He gives stuff we don't even know he's given. He's constantly giving. This is part of God's nature, to give and give and give. And at the heart of all of that giving is forgiveness. God is by nature a giver, but he is first and foremost by nature a forgiver. He forgives sins, and he does this through his son Jesus Christ. When you hear of Jesus hanging dead on the cross for you, you know what you are seeing and hearing of God doing? God forgiving you and all sinners, and because of that, he gives us all other things. I'm Todd Wilkin, Colleen Carol Campbell, right after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.